Mercury Control. We're at T-minus 10 seconds and counting. 8.
Hear that?
7. 6.
That's a countdown. A countdown for a group of men who were to become America's first astronauts for Project Mercury. Who are these men, and how were they picked? Well, I should know. I was part of the selection. It all began back in January 1959, when NASA, that's the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, announced plans to orbit man into space in 1961. Name of the project? Mercury, after the messenger of the old Roman gods who had wings on his heels. After plans for Project Mercury were announced, the first job was to pick the men who'd take part in the project. Men who'd be known as astronauts.
Astronaut, from the two Greek words, astron, meaning star, and nous, meaning ship. Astronaut, he who takes a ship to the stars.
So the job began. To select their astronauts, NASA checked the records of U.S. Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps pilots who'd graduated from the different military service schools and the files of 500 active military test pilots. Well, NASA didn't think too many men would be interested in orbiting the Earth way out there in space. So what happened? From a list of 500, they narrowed the number down to 110. I was one of those 110, and what a thrill that was. The idea was to interview each of the 110 of us separately, and then pick 36 men. But by the end of February, the plans were changed. 69 of us had been interviewed, and when the examining committee from NASA briefed us on just what Project Mercury was going to be, they expected at least half of us to drop out. But of those 69, 56 of us volunteered for the project. So the remaining 41 interviews were canceled. Then a second interview was held with each one of us, and for various reasons, several dropped out. Then came the psychological tests, and 32 of us were left. Now things were looking better. NASA figured that after one more screening, the number would go down to even less. But it didn't quite work out that way. After the final screening, all 32 of us still remained. Then began an examination which they figured was sure to narrow down the list of those of us who wanted to be astronauts. Each of us was given a 7.5-hour series of physical and psychological tests, and they were pretty rough. I remember I was put in a sealed room for 2 hours at the broiling temperature of 130 degrees. Then I was brought out, and I sat with my bare feet in 32-degree water for 8 minutes while my blood pressure and heart rate was measured. Then I had to walk on a treadmill until my heartbeat increased from a normal 70 to 180 per minute. Then after a short rest, the test was repeated again and again. Next, I was put in a completely silent room to see how I'd act when I couldn't hear any sound at all. Then I was transferred to another room where they blasted you for hours with 145 decibels of sound. You know how loud that is? Well, let me give you a few examples of different kinds of sound. The rustle of leaves in the wind has a loudness of all 10 decibels. And my voice right now registers about 60 decibels. Loud music is at about 90 decibels. An airplane 10 feet away has about 120 decibels of sound. Well, there are millions of other sounds, and each one will have so many decibels of sound. But when any sound reaches about 140 decibels, it becomes pretty painful to the ears. So you can imagine how that noise sounded to me when I was closed up in a room and forced to listen to 145 decibels of sound, hour after hour. Well, that wasn't the end of it. There were many more tests, and any one of them could have proved too difficult to take. But when the 32 of us had completed all of our tests, we were given another physical test. And, well, all 32 of us still qualified. Well, NASA had to break the deadlock somehow, and they finally decided to select 7 of us whose engineering experience could be adapted best to Project Mercury. Well, it wasn't an easy job, I can tell you, but they did it. And the 7 who were picked?
Lieutenant Colonel John Herschel Glenn, Jr., United States Marine Corps, age 38.
Lieutenant Commander Walter Marty Shirah, United States Navy, 36.
Lieutenant Commander Alan Bartlett Shepard, United States Navy, 35.
Captain Donald Kent Slayton, United States Air Force, 35.
Lieutenant Malcolm Scott Carpenter, United States Navy, 34.
Captain Virgil Ivan Grissom, United States Air Force, 33.
Captain Leroy Gordon Cooper, United States Air Force, 32.
Well, I don't have to tell you, I wasn't one of the 7. Sure, I was disappointed, but that didn't stop me from following Project Mercury very closely, just in case NASA decided to add one more astronaut. So the 7 astronauts were finally selected, and Project Mercury was underway. Well, their training began. There were hours and hours of lectures on star recognition and celestial navigation, trips into the desert to learn different ways of keeping alive when they were all alone, and trips to the ocean to practice wriggling out of a make-believe capsule and onto rubber life rafts in rough seas. And they took many rides in the centrifuge. I remember I'd taken a few rides in that thing before I lost out. In case you've never seen one, the centrifuge is a strong steel arm, 50 feet long, with a pill-shaped cabin at the end of it. The cabin measures 6 by 10 feet. The inside of the cabin was built to look just like the planned Mercury capsule. Well, the astronaut who was going for a ride was strapped inside the cabin in the same position he'd be in if he were in a real capsule. Then he was whirled around under great pressure. Sometimes it would reach a pull of 12 G's. That's 12 times the force of gravity. There were lots of other studies and tests the astronauts had to take, too. Top scientists were paid to teach the astronauts all about astronautics, especially about ballistics, trajectories, fuels, guidance, and other things they'd have to know about operating a missile. Then there were classes in astronomy, meteorology, astrophysics, geography, and more studies all about space. And for short periods, they were given a chance to go through weightless flying in a plane equipped for zero-G flights. That meant that since there wasn't any gravity, there was nothing to keep them standing up. And the astronauts could float around in the inside of the plane and do somersaults in midair. During one of the weightless flights, Colonel Glenn was told to drive a screw into the wall. But the slight touch of the screwdriver against the screw threw him all the way across the cabin of the plane. Finally, early in 1961, almost 2 years since Project Mercury got underway, NASA was ready to select the astronaut who'd ride the first Mercury capsule down the Atlantic Missile Range from Cape Canaveral, now called Cape Kennedy. Who was it to be? Of course, each one of the seven astronauts hoped he'd be chosen for this first flight. Even if it was a suborbital flight and he wouldn't be leaving the Earth's atmosphere. But since they were a team, whoever'd be chosen would be backed up by the other six. So if you were listening to the news one morning in April 1961, you probably heard your local announcer say,
"And from Cape Canaveral, the news all America has been waiting to hear. This morning, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration announced the name of the first American astronaut, Lieutenant Commander Alan Bartlett Shepard."
Well, Commander Shepard was a pretty proud and excited man, believe me. And on May 5th, 1961, strapped to his Contour couch in the Freedom 7, Commander Shepard left the launching pad at Cape Canaveral and made a successful landing 15 minutes later. In those 15 minutes, he'd covered 302 miles, reached a height of 116 and a half miles, and flown at a maximum speed of 5,036 miles an hour, or almost 84 miles a minute. Well, Project Mercury had made a successful beginning, but Commander Shepard's suborbital flight was just that. Only the beginning. On July 21st, 1961, 2 months later, Captain Virgil Grissom, whom the others called Gus, went for the second ride down the missile range. Although his capsule, the Liberty Bell, had a little trouble when he landed, everyone was satisfied with the flight. Now, with the two suborbital flights over, they were ready for, as Ed Sullivan might say, the really big show. Now, everybody was asking, who will it be? It was kind of like playing 10 Little Indians.
Seven little astronauts learned all the tricks. One made a speedy flight. Then there were six. Six little astronauts continued to strive. One made a second flight. Now there were five.
Yes, now there were five. And one would be the first American ever to orbit the globe. 4 months later, in November, NASA announced its choice. And the man chosen to conduct Project Mercury's first orbital mission was the oldest of the seven astronauts, 38-year-old Marine Lieutenant Colonel John Glenn, Jr. Cape Canaveral was a mighty busy place, believe me. Finally, after several delays due to technical difficulties and unfavorable weather, the big day arrived. February 20th, 1962. As Colonel Glenn made his final preparations, checked all the equipment in his capsule, the Friendship 7, and was strapped into place, people all over the United States, all over the world, watched and waited and prayed. The great adventure was about to begin, and it would answer many questions, especially for the astronauts.